Lopez Hernandez, Ms. Ambrosio.
Good morning, Your Honors and Counsel. May it please the Court, I'm Karen Brogio, appearing on behalf of Mr. Lopez Hernandez. At Mr. Lopez Hernandez's sentencing hearing, the judge committed two significant errors. The government has conceded our second argument that the judge committed plain error when it imposed Lopez's sentence based on arrest, to which the Court made no findings. Our first argument is that the Court committed reversible procedural error when it failed to address and rule on the defendant's principal arguments advanced in support of a variant sentence. Regarding the first, we argue that the sentencing court did not fulfill its obligations under this Court's precedents as well as that of the Supreme Court. One, to specifically address each legal argument so as to demonstrate meaningful consideration.
Well, could you be more specific? What is it you're concerned about?
We're concerned first that the judge did not analyze the argument very clearly advanced.
Specific. What is the argument?
We made an analogy to a guideline departure, a practice that is supported in this court in the case of Miranda. We cited to the cultural assimilation departure note as it applied to Mr. Lopez, and we went through seven different factors.
I don't think the culture assimilation is going to get you anywhere. I thought your major complaint was about his use of arrest records. Is that?
Well, that was one judge. But I think our complaint under our first argument is the fact that the judge did not tie his one statement regarding arrest. One, the judge never even discuss the fact that there were five convictions. It is true, as you say, that the judge talked a little bit about the arrest. He never even mentioned the five convictions of which Mr. Lopez has been convicted. He never talked about the fact that they were minor. He never analyzed or tied the fact of the record of convictions to the sentencing factors as required by this court and by the Supreme Court and Gall. In fact, in the same sentence that he said he was denying, for instance, our fast-tracked argument, he talked about how he had considered restitution in cases where restitution was required, thus suggesting that all he was doing was reciting the statutory factors.
I understand your argument. The judge said that his convictions had given him a criminal history category of 4. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that.
Okay. And then he says he can't ignore the 41 arrests that didn't lead to convictions, right? I thought your principal concern was his reliance on the 41 arrests. Am I missing something?
One of our concerns, Judge, our concern is also we don't understand, as people quite familiar with the record, why it is he denied the fast-tracked argument. It's not clear that there was any analyzation of that argument, even though we went through at least seven factors, I believe it was upwards of 10, that applied to Mr. Lopez in particular. There was no discussion. He simply said denied. And again, that was in the same context of generally stating 3553 factors, and this is on the appendix, pages 12 through 14.
What's this fast-track business? I didn't see that. Is that in your brief?
It is in our brief, Judge. It is Record 58.
Pardon?
It is. Our brief is Record 58.
Your
I believe
brief
it's on
is
pages
Record
6.
58? What are you talking about?
Okay. Judge, I'm
it's your brief.
Oh, I'm sorry. My appellate brief.
In your brief, do you discuss the fast-track issue? I didn't see that. It's not in your table of contents.
Well, Judge, I will. Our argument is that the judge did not make clear in the record that he had analyzed any of the arguments presented in mitigation. It's not clear, as was required from this court in Cunningham.
So
in
you're
Miranda.
Not concerned about the aggravation, but about his failure to discuss mitigation? The aggravation, if that's the right word, was based on the 41 arrests. But your emphasis is not on that, but on his failure to consider the cultural assimilation argument. And
no, our emphasis is on the arrests as well as our other arguments presented in mitigation.
The arrests. In a number of the arrests, there's a statement in the pre-sentence investigation report of what the police said they found when they arrested him, why they arrested him. Now, are those descriptions, do you accept the accuracy of those descriptions, or did you challenge the accuracy of those descriptions?
We don't challenge the accuracy, Judge, but there were no findings made on those.
But but he's got the 41 arrests, and I think 10 or 12 of them have these descriptions of what the police, what the base of the arrest was. Wouldn't that be a legitimate basis for going to the, it's still a guideline sentence, but so the range is 57 to 71, and he chose 71. He could have gone down to 57 or below, but that's the range. And wouldn't those arrests, which apparently had at least probable cause, wouldn't such a large number of arrests be an appropriate aggravating factor?
Not necessarily, Judge. I believe there were only three of those 41 arrests which had more than one sentence, which briefly, very briefly, in one sentence.
No, but you're not challenging. And you look at these sentences, they, you know, suggest... they indicate criminal behavior. I have no question about it. Some are rather bizarre, and all this gang business,
Judge,
screaming SGD and all that.
Well, the judge is required to find, by a preponderance of the evidence, that this conduct actually occurred. He did not make any finding as to that regard.
But you're not questioning the accuracy of these police reports.
Well, according to Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 51A, we were not required to accept the judge's ruling. Frankly, it came out of left field. It was not the expectation that the judge would rely.
Well, if you disagreed, you could say to him, look, the police, they're conducting a vendetta against him. These arrests are phony. There's no probable cause. You could have said that. You didn't say that.
We didn't say that, Judge. I did not accept to his ruling because I don't believe I'm required to.
No, it's not accepting. The point is, this is the pre-sentence report, and if you disagree with anything in a pre-sentence investigation report, you're supposed to tell the judge, right?
There's also a distinction between juvenile and adult. I think there were 15 adult arrests. Is that correct? Something like that?
I don't recall, Judge, since there were essentially 46 arrests with 5 convictions. The majority of those occurred when
he was not
an adult.
Convictions. I'm talking about just the arrests.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there were some, a lot of them were while he was juvenile, and that was, maybe this, I don't know if it blew those off, but there were, I think, about 15 when he was an adult. And the judge was citing these as showing this guy is really busy, let's put it that way, and engaging with the law. And he thought that was, an enhancing situation. And I guess when you seem to be minimizing the arrests themselves as being used just because they didn't go into some detail or examine why he was arrested and then go into and analyze it. I think there was a little more detail somewhere where involving the arrests when he was an adult. At least that was before the judge.
Well, he certainly wasn't anybody's ideal son. But our concern is that the judge relied on arrests without making any finding. It's what we've stated in our brief, and we stand behind that position.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Ambrosio. Mr. Fullerton?
May it please the court. The government concedes that the district court relied on an arrest record without making findings that the underlying conduct for which Mr. Lopez Hernandez was arrested had in fact occurred. It's our position that that was error and that it was
planned. Yeah, but that's wrong. Because we've distinguished between a situation which you just have, as Judge Manuel was pointing out, for the juvenile arrest, there's just a statement of the arrest. There's no description of the acts that precipitated the arrest. But for a number of these, for the adult ones, there is. And there's nothing wrong with the judge considering that, right? If the defendant wants to say, no, you know, it was a false arrest, that would certainly be material, and judge would have to look further or just disregard the arrest. But if the defendant's lawyer doesn't question the accuracy of the description, why isn't it perfectly appropriate for the judge to consider that?
I think it could be. The judge here didn't.
Why isn't it? That is, you have a description by the police. I arrest this guy. He's banging on a car. He's screaming gang initials and all that. And if the defendant doesn't question that that's an accurate statement of the police, why isn't that entirely germane? I don't get it.
Our concern, Judge, is that...
The judge can consider almost anything in sentencing, right?
Right.
Okay.
And
he picked a guideline sentence.
Right.
Right? So what's wrong with a judge saying, look, you've got an arrest record as long as my arm, and while a lot of it is unexplained, there are these 10 or 12 or more where there's a police description. It's brief, but it certainly indicates criminal activity. And you're not questioning it. So as I try to pick a sentence in the guidelines range, I mean, even before Booker, the judge had very broad latitude within the range. And I don't know why it would be unreasonable for a judge to use this arrest record, huh? Which is extraordinary, right? 41 arrests. What's that about?
He has a terrible criminal. Terrible arrest record.
I don't know why you admit it's error.
Well, the district court didn't go on to say that it considered the factual allegations contained in the PSR.
Is the judge's failure to do that, to sort of tick that off, does that eliminate the presumption of reasonableness that the sentence has before us? Comes here as a guideline sentence with that presumption. Does the judge's failure to validate the statements in the pre-sentence report eliminate the presumption or negate it?
The judge definitely considered this as an aggravating factor within the guideline range.
He said he couldn't ignore those arrests. That's some evaluation of it, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, he had a criminal history category 4 even aside from the arrest. So he had a sort of accomplished criminal history even without considering the 41 arrests. So, you know, the judge's selection of that high end of the guideline range, 71 months, based in part explicitly on the consideration of these arrests, you know, while there is a presumption of a reasonableness attaching to the guideline sentence, the aggravating, you know, decision by or choice of the aggravation by the judge rested, we think, on an error in failing to find that conduct underlying those arrests had actually taken place.
Make a finding. That's your error. Why do you think the judge has to make a finding? He's got a pre-sentence investigation report, and it says a bunch of stuff. And a key potential question of whether there's probable cause for these arrests, that hasn't been raised. Looks like there's probable cause because of the police reports. No one's challenging the police reports. So why isn't the judge perfectly reasonable for him to say, why isn't it perfectly reasonable for the judge to look at this arrest record, see wherever there's a description of the facts giving rise to the arrest, there is no challenge to the accuracy of the description, and say, this person's criminality is worse than just, you know, the Category 4. I think it's kind of insulting the judge to send it back and say, boy, did you really... But I think your error, you think the judge actually has to make a finding about each of these arrests that it was I don't know, that the defendant was actually guilty of a crime? Well, how could that be, since there's no prosecution? Anyway.
Well, Judge, as we say in our brief, we think the court ought to remand for resentencing without regard to the arrest record.
I assume you just think on remand is a very strong possibility to get the same sentence based on whatever considerations you think are appropriate.
But there is that possibility, that's right.
Well, what sentence did you ask for, or did you?
I don't recall, Your Honor. I think it was a high-end sentence.
Based on what you would consider legitimate, appropriate considerations as opposed to the arrest, still come out with the same sentence.
Right.
And that's what a remand would accomplish, I guess.
That may be one result. That's right.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fullerton. Your time has expired, Ms. Ambrosio. So anyway, you were appointed, were you not? Okay. Well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.